gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tyrlone Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.
Well, now we're joined in studio by Dermot Gavin, a garden designer, Chelsea gold medalist, etc., etc., etc. He is going to take us to the Garden of Nymphs. Where is that, Dermot?
It is in Italy. It's about an hour and a bit south of Rome. You can get a train to it fairly easily if they let you in.
If they let me in.
Yeah,
so can you book in advance to let them know you're coming?
You book in advance. You really let them know you're coming. They'll give you a kind of 10 or 15 minute slot for you to arrive. And they won't let you linger because they know what they have. And it's a beauty.
It's a beauty. Now tell me when it began.
It began in medieval times. So it was a bustling town of about the population of about 2,000 people, 7 churches, 150 houses. There was a hospital. It was a very prosperous place. The Pope took a great... It was in an important kind of spot because it was just off the Appian Way on another route, much travel route down to Naples. When the Appian Way got flooded or too marshy to cross, people took this route. So even though it was relatively small, it was certainly important and it had its own castle.
Now we're going back to 1159 when Pope Alexander III was crowned there.
He was crowned
there,
yeah.
So it obviously was an important spot.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose all these places relatively near Rome were important, and the kind of dynastic things in terms of popes and families and aristocracy and all that was, it was like our politics today.
Now, why did it not continue to prosper then? What happened to it?
The Pope had an enemy who kind of eventually sacked it, burnt it to the ground. So it was very, very prosperous. He bought it. He gave it to his nephew, who was part of the Catani family. They owned it for years and years, well, hundreds of years, until really quite recently. But when it was burnt down, it was kind of left. And this was extraordinary, because it was a very beautiful place in a very prominent area. The land around it became very marshy. There was malaria, which was a big problem. A lot of the residents suffered from. So for 500 years, it became a town that just crumbled back into the soil.
The town slumbered.
Yes.
Now, those original buildings, the 150 houses and the churches, is there anything left of those?
Oh, plenty. So all the ruins were there. You did have some trees growing in the roofs of the castle, for instance. But the plenty left there. So it became a romantic, even amid its slumber, it became a romantic place for people to visit, especially, in the last century, early in the last century, writers like Virginia Woolf would have gone there to take inspiration from the place.
So it was known to some extent.
It was very well known because it was very well got, because it was in this aristocratic circles and still known, but still owned by this very prominent family. That was
the Catani family. Somebody along the way must have taken an interest.
So then you had this in its contemporary times. You had this guy, Galeazzo Catani. So he was a miner. He was a diplomat. He was a writer. He was well traveled. He went to America, formed a big company in San Francisco, went back to Italy during the war and became a national war hero because he used his mining skills to get behind enemy lines. So he mined or got his command, let's say, to mine into the mountain, and all of a sudden they were up behind, I think it was the Austrians. He became a hero in people's eyes. He was a supporter of Mussolini. He was a fascist supporter. He was appointed, at one stage he became mayor of Rome, and he was sent to America to be to promote Mussolini and be the ambassador there.
Now, he had an English mother. How important is that?
It's hugely important for the development of the gardens, because the secret to this place is it's the water, really. So it gets its name from their god of water, the nymphs and whatever. It was an old Roman temple on the site, or very near the site, dedicated to that. But the place is full of water, full of springs, hundreds and hundreds of them. So if you've been to Italian gardens, you would know they can be quite arid. They're very, very green. They tend to dry out during the summer, and it's the structure and the bones of the garden, and in, you know, the high Baroque nature of the garden, the design, the forcing pattern over nature, that really is what they're celebrated for.
So this Nympha River,
yes,
feeds this garden. 12 months of the year.
And the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of springs. So the lawns are really lush. So this guy had a British mother. She had kind of dirt under her fingernails, as many of the aristocrats do. And she and him decided in the 1920s, let's build a garden. Let's go back to the town. Let's restore it in a way. But let's not, okay, we'll build the castle and we'll build nice places for ourselves. But with the vast areas, so there's about 200 acres, and 20 of those acres are highly landscaped. And they decided to plant it, but they would use the tumbling structure of the medieval remains to douse it in plants,
okay,
in an English way.
But this was quite a deliberate planting. To the casual eye, it might seem this is just stuff gone wild. Not so.
It's not so. So they got one of the family pretty much drove tons of plants over in trucks from Hillier's Nursery in Britain. So all the plants that we would be familiar with, old climbing roses, hydrangeas, wisterias. But there's, I think, about 1,300 different species of plants.
And this is running in the family, because this was Galassio's American sister-in-law, Marguerite, the Duchess of Sermoneta. And then they had a daughter, Leela.
That's right. And she was a famous plantswoman. So many generations of the family really kind of piled in and brought this British English garden sensibility to it. So they created the ultimate, in ways, garden of England. It's very much fetishized by American and British tourists. They regard it as one of the most beautiful gardens that ever existed, because it is that idea of nature taking over, but nature in a very controlled way. So again, I've put up a video on Instagram today, and it just shows wisterias tumbling over the many bridges over the castles, the climbing roses that are just falling into. So they used the bones of the medieval town as the trellis for this very English garden planting. And it's magnificent.
Now, the story is, I suppose, it's a lovely story. Leela died in 1977. Then her English husband, Hubert Howard, tended the garden.
He took over the garden and he looked after it in the same way. And then it passed to the caretaker of the gardens, who again had been brought up with this tradition of English gardening among the ruins, and he's kept it going. And that is a foundation that you can apply to go there to run it.
So Lauro Marchetti, not related to the Caetanis at all.
No. So now it's passed out of, after hundreds and hundreds of years, passed out of the family, but guarded so very carefully.
How many plants and plant varieties are there?
There's about 1,200, between 1,000 and 1,200 plant varieties. But like gardens we've talked about before, like Congreve Gardens down in Waterford that we talked about last week, they would have mass planted. So, you know, thousands of varieties, because of this really special microclimate, because of kind of the moisture in the air, plants that you wouldn't expect to survive and thrive. So it's not only the lawns that are green, the box hedging that's let grow rampant that's green, but it is an Italian floriferous garden. It's quite amazing.
You sent me some pictures, which I'm looking at now. They're stunning.
They're stunning. Now, it's different. It's in a way, you could think that it's themeland. The first garden I ever created at the Chelsea Flower Show was of a tumbling castle based on a tower house that I saw crossing the bridge into a Dare manor. So it's that type of thing, but draped in plants.
Well, it's fabulous. And you do have video on your Instagram.
Video on the Instagram. And
enjoy its
lots
splendor.
Of images so people
all right,
Jim
McGavin, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for.
Gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tierlawn Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.